This is the Cafe Racer Podcast, episode 117 for October 1st, 2017. I'm Crash.
And I'm Jess.
Those of you watching will notice that we are in our car driving. Those of you listening will be like, what's all that weird other audio? It's the car. Why are we in the car?
Because we're going to Costa Mesa up to the Ducati
dealership.
They're having a event called
California Moto Market.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, so we figured we'd take the time, since we're driving an hour and a half in the car, to kind of wrap up our impressions of AIM and the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride and just kind of everything that's been going on for the show and whatnot and for you on your bike. So yeah, why don't we start with, chronologically, we can start with AIM.
Yeah, let's do that.
If you've already listened to the Roundtable show, you've heard some of our impressions and stuff. Then our interviews are also on YouTube and then also on that same Roundtable episode. But it was a pretty crazy, like, day and a half, huh?
It was. It was exhausting, but it was fun.
I mean, we got to Columbus at, like, we didn't really get into our room until, like, midnight.
Yeah.
And then we had to be up, you know, by, like, 9 o'clock. Which was 6 o'clock in the morning out to our body.
Didn't we have to be at the Kawasaki thing at 9?
Oh yeah, we had to be there
earlier.
Yeah, and I didn't sleep at all.
You didn't go to bed till 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I slept like maybe 3 hours. fortunately the walk, we were close enough to the convention center to be able to walk.
Mm-hmm, that was nice.
Yeah, it was super convenient. The outdoor area to, like, do demo rides was also walking distance.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to just walk through the whole convention center, and by the time we had done our little, like, quarter mile to the half a mile walk,
we were awake. Yeah.
And then, yeah, we rode the Kawasaki Z900.
That was the first bike we rode in the morning, and it was all alone with their
tour leaders, leads or whatever.
Yeah. It was nice.
So what were your impressions? What were your thoughts before we got on that bike?
This is something we'll never buy in my head. Like, we're not going to buy this, but it looks like something that a lot of other people ride.
Yeah. So you were also a little concerned about the seat.
Yeah, being perched up above your butt rather than being right with you on our flat Bonneville seat.
Yeah.
So I was like, doesn't look comfortable.
Yeah. I don't know how you're gonna like it.
Yeah.
So everybody there, it was just like I said, it was just us and their like leader, their like guy that was gonna lead the ride. He took us on a ride. And so it was just the two of us. We like stopped. Like every time we stopped, we were kind of like chatting back and forth with him. I think he owns a dealership in like the Deals Gap area. Yeah, he was super nice. And how did you like the ride? How did you like taking the Z900 out?
It was very fun. It was quick and nimble feeling, and there was a lot of power.
Yeah.
And it was really, really nice to be perched up.
So
I didn't think I was going to like it.
Yeah, you could like see over my head.
Yeah, it was just the perfect, like my chin was like right at your shoulder.
Uh-huh.
So I could just move over one side or the other and see what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And I've really never been able to do that before on the Bonneville because I'm so much shorter than you.
Right. And when you were back there, like it was comfortable for me because like you're your legs were kind of like up around my hips, which made it easy for you to kind of like grip my hips a little bit.
Yeah.
And so your hands were a little more free.
Yes, they were. On the Bonneville, I'm like practically under your butt.
Yeah, you're like scooted right up under me.
Uh-huh. I don't grip your thighs at all for anything.
When you said you looked at the bike and thought, oh, this looks nice. I don't think we would want something like this. How do you feel after riding it?
That it'd be fun to have in the garage sometimes.
Yeah. if you haven't looked it up yet, the Z900 is a naked sport bike. So 4-cylinder, 900cc engine, wide flat handlebars. You know, it's like the Speed Triple or the FJ or FZ09 or, you know, any of those. While we were riding, I noticed the taillight on the, you know, because the demo lead guy was also on a Z900. The taillight is shaped like a Z.
Yeah, that was like, really cute.
It kind of looks like an X, but when you look closely, you can see that it's actually a Z, which is kind of funny. The Kawasaki only had Z series motorcycles there for demoing.
Uh-huh.
They had the 650, which we didn't ride, the 900, and then the 125, which I rode later.
Yeah.
We should put the video up on the time-lapse video you shot up on the YouTube or something.
Oh, YouTube would let us. Instagram won't. It's not long enough.
She shot a time-lapse video. They had a closed course for the Z125 in like a little corner of the parking lot. And I mean, talk about like a bear on a tricycle. Like, I looked ridiculous.
It's so big. Tiny little bike.
Yeah.
Is it street legal?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why was it a closed thing? They didn't want to do demo rides out on the street?
It doesn't go, the stock one doesn't go fast enough to like get on the freeway or anything.
We don't have to go on the freeway to go on a demo ride.
No, but the place that bike really shines is like doing little tiny parking lot zippy little course stuff.
Okay.
Like that bike is perfectly at home on a go-kart track.
Okay.
There's actually like a class of racing where they take those and the Honda Grom out on go-kart tracks.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And then, so we rode that, and then we went to Kawasaki's presentation, which I wish we had taken a longer demo ride because the presentation did nothing for me.
No.
They did release a new KLX 250 that looks nice and it's fuel injected, so that's cool, but they really need to put fuel injection on the KLR 650 and just, you know, get rid of all of the carbureted motorcycles in their lineup. It's not 1965 anymore. Like, we can put fuel injection and stuff. It's okay. What was your overall impression of the show?
Okay, this was my first time going.
Yeah.
I wanted more time there. I didn't get to see everything.
Yeah,
it was,
we really
that big.
Didn't.
There was a lot of vendors there. We were there just for the press people. And so I didn't get to see the real users being interested in any of these vendors that were there.
Yeah, like, you kind of wanted to see what it was like on a general public day.
I do.
Just to see their reactions.
I want to see, the general public's reactions to all of these, to see where they flock, see what's going on. The media people, we're flocking everywhere. We're trying to get everything that we can, or not.
I mean, there were a couple people we wanted to get, you know, interviews with that we didn't because of, we were there on such a short time constraint. And, like, there were enough media people there, or, like, dealers there that were, you know, kind of monopolizing everybody's time. So it was sort of, it was tough.
It was fun. It was good. When we were doing the roundtable, I was able to hear that you guys, that the big vendors were missing. And
there were a
couple,
kind
of disappointing, but I liked it. I thought it was fun. I can't wait for Vegas next year to take more time and definitely plan a public day because I want to see what it's like.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I mean, Vegas is so much closer for us. We can just drive there.
Yeah.
As long as I'm able to go, then I can't see why we wouldn't. the seat thing. I want to get back to that.
Mm, okay.
You sitting like higher than me on the back of the Z900 was sort of like a revelation for you.
It was.
Because yes. you've been kind of scoffing at new motorcycles up to this point. Even the GS500, when with its difference in seat heights, you were like, I don't know, I don't really like it. Like,
yeah.
You know, like you just didn't like the way it looked or whatever.
Now I like it.
Yeah.
It's great.
So we did all of our press stuff. You guys can see all our interviews or listen to interviews. But we also kind of like, I wanted to ride as many bikes in the demo area as I could, sort of to like figure out what we would want as our next bike.
Uh-huh.
For me, that also you're going to ride on, obviously. And the big ones I wanted to try were, I wanted to ride the Yamaha FJ09 again. Like, I've ridden it before, but I've never ridden it with you. I wanted to ride that again, and I wanted to ride the Super Tenere to kind of have the comparison of those two Yamahas. And then, basically, because it's, like, been the, like, industry, like, standard, I wanted to ride a BMW R1200 GS.
Oh.
And we did ride all those. I also rode an Indian Scout, and that was... It was like riding a cruiser.
Yeah.
And I'm...
It's cute.
It's nice looking. I don't want one. If I had unlimited money, maybe I'd have one. You know, unlimited money and unlimited garage space. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But maybe not.
Yeah.
So, we rode the Yamaha FJ09, which is the FZ09 engine in a upright, sort of sport toury, sort of adventure-y body. And I've really liked it. Anybody that listens to the show for a while knows that, like, that's a bike that I keep kind of, like, mentally going back to.
Uh-huh.
And I had forgotten when I test rode it the first time, there was something that I could feel moving on my heel. And it turns out that the way that that bike is set up, the heel guard doesn't come back far enough, and my left heel sits right on the swing arm. And so I can feel the swing arm moving up and down a little bit as I'm riding. I feel like that'd be easy to fix. I could probably, all by myself, just like extend the heel guard back a little bit, and then it would keep my heel...
Not easy to live with. That's annoying.
Yeah, I would either have to learn to keep my foot in a different position or modify the heel guard. And I'd probably rather just modify the heel guard because it would force my foot into a slightly different position.
Uh-huh.
And then, so you got on the back.
Uh-huh.
And we rode around. What did you think of the FJ?
It was fun. It felt like it had a lot of power.
It had that kind of like peppy feeling that the Z900 did.
Yes. Yeah, I liked it. I still felt like we were, like, nimble on it.
Mm-hmm.
The suspension was a little bumpy, but it was stock.
Yeah, I mean, you said that the ride was pretty rough on the Z900.
Yeah.
And that the FJ was better.
The FJ was better than the 900. Very comfortable. No vibrations on my feet.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
It was nice and smooth.
Yes.
And then we rode the Super Tenere.
Uh-huh.
Which I kind of expected... I kind of expected you to like it more than the FJ because it's bigger, it's supposed to be comfier. You know, like... No, you didn't think it was comfier at all.
No, I really didn't. The position was... fine and good. The little perched up seat, that's great. But, it felt bigger and clunkier and definitely a lot of vibrating happening.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Your feet were really buzzy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my toes went numb on that ride, and it was, a 20-minute ride?
Yeah. I mean, it's got that big parallel twin engine in it, so it's gonna be... more vibration.
That's the one with the... No, never mind. I was going to say, is that the one where you shift without pulling the clutch?
No.
That's the BMW.
The BMW does that. So, yeah, then we went and rode the BMW. We rode the R1200 GS Rally, which is the suspension, the taller suspension from the R1200 GS Adventure, but the smaller gas tank from the basic GS. Because why not have 15 different versions of the bike?
Why not?
And I expected, like, I've ridden GSs before. I pretty much knew what I was going to think of it, which is that I was going to like it. But
I liked it.
You really liked it.
It was comfortable.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun to ride. The whole thing with, like, not pulling the clutch in to change the gears, like, first gear into second gear was, like,
It was weird.
Yeah.
Wasn't
smooth.
A lot of the GS, or the GS, a lot of the BMW motorcycles all have this shifting assist system that allows you, and they encouraged us to try it out in the demo. It allows you to, you don't have to roll off the throttle at all to upshift, and you don't have to pull in the clutch at all to downshift. You can just, and you don't have to roll, you don't have to pull in the clutch ever except for going from a stop, or, you know, stopping.
It just sounds lazy.
Which, well, I don't know. I mean, it's, the system apparently works better on some of their other bikes, but on the 1200 GS, going from first to second was very, like, the bike felt like it jumped really hard.
It did jump.
The brief time we got on the freeway, going up from, like, fourth to fifth and to sixth, was perfectly smooth. Like, that felt great. One thing that I was impressed with was the downshifting.
Like, that was smooth.
I downshifted all the way down into first, like, just by rolling off the throttle, pushing down on the gear lever, and then the bike automatically matches the revs to the rear wheel, and then, like, and super smooth right into the next gear. There was no, like, lurching or anything like that. That's a feature I would probably use a lot if I had one,
uh-huh.
If I had a bike like that. So of the three, I was really hoping that we wouldn't like the BMW the most because it's the most expensive and least reliable of the three.
But we talked about a lot after doing those demo rides, and if it came to where we had to make a decision right now, we would get
the FJ09.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if money were no object, I think we would both get the BMW. We both choose the BMW.
Because it was really comfortable.
It was the most comfortable. It has the most funky, fun features or whatever.
Yeah, it's just going to, you know, have a big problem.
Right.
It's going to blow
up. There's like a 1 in 3 chance that something major is going to fail on it.
And we're going to have to sell a child.
Yeah.
To fix it.
So that's kind of a concern. Whereas with the Yamaha, it's closer to 1 in 10, which is still pretty high for a vehicle. But, you know, of the motorcycle manufacturers, Yamaha and all of the Japanese bikes are the most consistently reliable. But yeah, so we like the BMW a lot.
Yep.
I was really hoping to have time to ride the Harley Roadster, just because, you know, it's been recommended to me as, like, that's the most fun, if you're into, the, like, a cafe racer or that style, like, that's the most fun bike from Harley, and I really wanted to see if I liked it.
How big of an engine does that thing have?
It's a 1200cc V-twin.
Oh.
So it's, like, yeah, it's bigger than the Bonnevilles.
Yeah.
The new Bonnevilles have a 1200. Like, there's the new T120 is a 1200cc parallel twin. Like, imagine the Super Tenere's engine in my motorcycle. So that was pretty much AIM. Like, we were in and out super fast.
Yes.
It was really great to see some of the people that we knew from before and to meet some new people. Like Kevin from Throttled Podcast, and then all the guys from the community garages, like Corey and Lori and Brian, and
they were really fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that was kind of like our little home base.
Yeah.
During AIM, like, we kept coming back to that little corner where they were,
uh-huh.
And like
They couldn't get rid of us.
Talking to them, like, hanging out, talking to them. So, you know, and not even, like, for the show, just, like, because they felt fun to chat with and to hang out with. Like, it was a lot of fun. I mean, Corey and Lori are from, like, Corey's basically from my hometown.
Yeah.
So, like, we had a lot to talk about there. So it was a good show. We both wish we could have stayed longer.
Definitely.
But we had to be back in time to go on the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride.
That's right. Sunday morning. So we had AIM on Thursday and
Friday.
We had a break day and went to a water park on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then woke up early Sunday morning to go to the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride here in San Diego.
So Rob, he's in the Slack, he's a Patreon, he's been a listener for quite a long time. He lives really close to us, and he came over and rode your Suzuki. On the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride. We met up at Cerberus Motorcycles. And honestly, like, I had totally misread the schedule for the ride. I had thought it said the ride departed at 8:30 in the morning and was done at 10:30.
Yeah.
It was not the case at all. Ride, like, the meetup started at 8:30 in the morning, and the ride departed at 10:30 and then was done at, like, 12:30.
Right. But, you know, you don't ever start on time, so
no.
We didn't leave until 11.
Well, the thing was, like, when we got to Dave's, when we were at Cerberus, I'm, like, thinking to myself, like, what the heck? We're going to miss the ride, like. Because there were some, you know, Dave's bike was acting up a little bit. He was trying to get some things together and, you know, still had to put on his outfit. Yeah. And, like, I was, like, thinking to myself, man, we're not going to make it. Like, we're going to be late.
Yeah, I was getting antsy the first, like, 30 minutes. I was like, what's going on? Why aren't we ready?
Right. And then when somebody commented about, yeah, the ride doesn't even leave until, like, 10:30. I was like, wait, what? And then they said it. I was like, oh, let's just hang out here. Like, let's just be late. Screw it. We don't need to rush over there. Like, I don't need to stand around for 2 hours.
No.
In the sun.
It was a good idea to just hang out there.
It was. It was nice.
Couch.
And, like, you know, generally speaking, the people that show up at Cerberus Motorcycles are people that we can talk to, and they're down to earth and relaxed, and they're not, like, I don't feel like they're judging anybody. Like,
no, they're not showing off either.
Yeah, they're not peacocking. I mean, there was a lot of peacocking at the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride.
There was,
like,
too many peacocks. Too many cocks.
There was an entire, like, contingent from Baja California in Mexico that were, like, all very well-dressed, all on versions of the Bonneville. They were all super loud.
Yeah, very loud.
Like, really, really loud. Like, just very open pipes. But yeah, there was definitely, I mean, there were some, like, there were definitely, like, segments, like, sects of people. You know, like, everybody had their little corner of the people that they hung out with.
And yeah, we don't have a corner.
Not so much.
No. That's okay. I'm fine with that. I like to infiltrate other people's corners.
Yeah.
Like, what's your name?
Except that you don't.
Sometimes.
So then we went over, we rode through San Diego, like, not on the freeway, just kind of, like, through the city to where we started the ride, which is over by the convention center. Still hung out there for what seemed, like, way too long.
It did seem way too long.
Because at 10:30, they, like, announce, okay, everybody, gather around, and then, like, they put out a few things, including the fact that the organizer for this year's ride was going to be getting married at the end of the ride, which was a little weird.
And a surprise.
Yeah.
Not.
It wasn't announced to us.
No.
Those of us on the ride beforehand. And, like, they were getting married at the final place we were going to stop.
Right.
So that was strange.
It was strange.
A little bit.
Maybe a little inconsiderate, but
yeah.
Whatever.
They didn't, like, have their wedding and we all had to stand there and watch.
If they did that, I would have flipped it all off and left.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were going to do.
Yeah.
But it turned out we got to their venue and it was this place called Ale Smith Brewing, and they were getting married in the back and we were all out in the front, and, like, like their reception was going to be after their wedding, and like we didn't even stay for that whole thing, and we still stayed plenty of time.
We did.
Quick shout out to Zach and Becca who let us share the table with them because there was nowhere to sit.
They were nice.
Yeah. He has a 2010 Bonneville SE that's the same colors that mine used to be. So we had plenty to talk about there. We went on our little ride, the Distinguished Gentleman's ride, and
We also played with our Sennas with Rob.
Yeah.
That was kind of a pain in the butt, but it was nice when we did get it to work to actually talk to Rob while we were riding.
Yeah, I think that we came to kind of the conclusion that mine being a 20S and yours and his both being an SMH10, it's like mine doesn't want to hang out with older Sennas or something. And so it doesn't want to cooperate or doesn't want to be simple, because Rob says he uses his with a group of people often and doesn't have problems, but with the three of us, like, sometimes it would be the two, me and her talking, sometimes it would just be me and him talking, and sometimes we'd all be in the group, and you never really knew
who you're gonna get,
what was gonna happen. It made it really hard to talk shit about Rob, because he might be on there, he might not be on there.
He could have been on there just being really quiet. See what we said about him.
Totally.
But I said nice things.
We did. So we did this Distinguished Gentleman's ride. That was a bunch of fun.
Yeah, that was last Sunday. Today is a new Sunday.
Yep. It is. And we have, there's a bunch of things. I'm all over the place. So you've actually gotten to ride your motorcycle a couple times.
Yeah, I went on the street.
You actually got out of the parking lot and rode through the neighborhood behind us yesterday by yourself. And then you came back and suggested that we both go. Like, I take my motorcycle and you take yours. Mm-hmm. And we ride. So we did that this morning.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it at all? Nope.
It happened. It finally happened. A year later, after getting my motorcycle license, I took my own bike out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
So I feel accomplished.
Good.
And I feel surprisingly comfortable. I was giving myself the craziest anxiety thinking about it and not doing it. And just giving myself excuses after excuses in my head. I'm gonna die, I'm gonna blow up, I'm gonna do this, it's not gonna work, I'm too scared.
Yeah, you're really psyching yourself out.
I did. It was bad. It was too long. And, you know, just getting out there, doing it, I'm way more comfortable than I expected.
Good.
So I'm very happy.
There were a few moments over the past year that you and I have both thought, maybe this just is not for you. And maybe we should just give it all up.
Yeah.
Now that you've ridden on the street 2 days.
2 days, yes.
do you feel like that's
gone? We're not going to sell my Honda. Definitely going to sell the Suzuki one day. Maybe.
We're definitely going to sell both of those bikes one day.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
But I'm glad that you don't feel... I'm glad that you felt more comfortable.
Yes, me too.
The first day we went out, I rode my bicycle.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that she, like...
Didn't chicken out.
Yeah, didn't chicken out and, like, actually, like, safely got out back into the neighborhood behind us. Because, like, you kind of have to pull out onto the busiest street in our town. Just very briefly, but that was kind of intimidating for you the first time.
It was intimidating, and... what got me out was a trash truck coming and wanting to turn into where I was sitting.
Yeah.
And so it was like flashing its brights at me to go, and I'm like, oh shit, now I have to go.
Yeah, well, the nice thing about it though, like, he was sitting there blocking the lane for you too.
That is true.
Like,
nobody was gonna get me.
Yeah, there's a trash truck sitting there, so you were covered.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
You got you out, and then you rode around for a little bit. And I went and worked on the bike a little bit in mine in the garage while you were riding around. And literally the whole time, every time I'd hear any engine noise from any vehicle,
I would listen
really closely to hear if it was you coming back. Like, if you had given up or come back. I don't. You were probably out for 15, 20 minutes, maybe.
Cool. I jokingly said that I'd be out for 5 minutes, so yeah. I'm glad I passed that.
You were definitely out for like at least 15 minutes, maybe a half an hour. Mm-hmm. Because I was able to, you know,
break your bike,
take some stuff off my bike and break something on it.
But that doesn't take 30 minutes.
No, but like I was able to like do kind of a lot.
Yeah.
To what, you know, I was moving my headlight, my turn signal brackets to a different spot. And like I had to take the headlight off, disconnect the turn signals, take the brackets off. Like that was a, you know, a half an hour job that I did while you were,
yeah,
you know, riding. So you got to do that.
Yeah, I was trying to make sure that I was comfortable enough with shifting and stopping and putting my foot down and braking right before I went out to the busy road again, mm-hmm, to get home.
And you didn't fall over.
I didn't.
So that's good. Then this morning, we got up and we're like, I don't know, are we going to do this?
Yeah, I had a headache, I was tired, and then we did it.
Yeah.
And I was really happy that we did it.
Was it easier to follow me, or was it easier to be on your own, or was it the same?
It was, I don't know about easier or harder, it was just a little different.
Yeah.
It was nicer to have you kind of making the decisions of where we're turning and going, because I said, like, you lead me, and
right,
I'll
you could just
kind of
offload that. And just go wherever we went.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of having to make the decision, which just takes one more thing out of my mind.
Yeah. I think next time we're going to go somewhere.
Yes.
Like, we'll pick, you know, we'll go get lunch or we'll go just anywhere. And just ride all the way there and back. Mm-hmm. So that we don't have to, because I was just kind of like, I don't know where I'm going. We're just kind of randomly turning.
Left here, right here, go down a few dead ends.
Yeah. There are so many dead ends near us. Like, because there's this, like, this little mountain behind us that we live next to, and all the roads just get to it and then dead end.
Yeah. But, turning around in cul-de-sacs, they're fun.
Yeah. Somebody, like that mom and son, it looked like, were, like, yeah, waving at us when we drove by today. And I said that you looked like a kid. Yeah. Like, you kind of looked like a child on the back of a motorcycle. That was a lot of fun. I guess the last thing to talk about for the show is, the contest is over.
Yay!
The first of many, because
we have a lot of crap.
We have a lot of stuff to give away. We've still got another helmet and a jacket, and Steve has a jacket. It seems like there's more stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. So we picked a winner, Brandon Taylor. He already emailed him. I got his address. Congratulations, Brandon, for winning the NEX XG100 helmet. There's going to be some extra swag in there as well, because we got some stuff from AIM, plus, you know, we have all the other stuff we kind of keep on hand. Mm-hmm. So stay, you know, keep an eye on your mailbox for that to be showing up soon. Yeah. I haven't shipped it yet.
But definitely
do that
week.
Probably tomorrow or Tuesday.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else, really.
No.
If you guys haven't checked out the Instagram, I got this tool bag from Twisted Throttle. It's an SW Motec bag that I really, really like a lot.
I really like it, too. I want to use it as a purse.
Yeah. We need, like, two more of them.
We do.
Because I want to put, like, two of them on my bike. And then you want one as a purse.
Yeah.
So, if you guys get a chance to check out SW Motec's Legend Gear series on Twisted Throttle, or just look up SW Motec Legend Gear.
If you want to buy me one and send it, you can. I would not send it back to you.
It's really nice stuff. Like, it's got, like, a synthetic, like, you know, fake leather. That's, like, a chocolate brown. And then a black canvas. And then it's got Molly webbing all over it. So, like, all their gear is, like, all the Legend series of gear is like that. And it looks really nice. It's functional. As long as you don't live in a place where it's raining constantly. Because they're water-resistant, not waterproof. But they all the saddlebags and the tank bag and stuff come with, like, a rain cover. So, you'd still be fine there. So, yeah, check it out. SW Motec Legend Gear. And I think that's going to wrap up the show.
Okay.
Okay, well, get out and ride.